Ches Eor, Monday the 27th of April, Rabbi Rashi Simon. Love your neighbour, priority or platitude? An alliterative cheer.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure, as always, to be here at the Torah Way and to share the company of those who are dedicated to Torah study on a regular basis every morning. And I always marvel at the fact that there are so many dedicated followers, not followers of me, but followers of the Torah Way to be here every morning. And every time I try to maybe explore some aspects of the Torah, frequently the Parsha, that maybe we've come across in the past, but still to reveal a new facet of it. And today I'd like to talk about a pasuk which is very well known, extremely well known, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. And I'd like to explore it and maybe reveal a different perspective on this idea. The first interesting thing is that although it's very well known to us, but in the wider world, the idea of love your neighbor as yourself is generally regarded as a Christian concept. Zelig Pliskin relates how many years ago he was talking to a young man, an American no doubt, who was made his way to the old city of Jerusalem, and he was trying to interest him in Torah matters. And he came to a couple of shirim, and he said to the rabbi, this is fascinating stuff. He said, really? Yeah, why do you say this? He said, well, last year I was in university in one of the big campuses in the USA, and I was approached by someone who was a Christian missionary, and he was trying to persuade me about the beauties of Christianity. And I said, yeah, but I'm Jewish. He said, yeah, but you can still be a Christian as well. So I said, yeah, why should I be a Christian? So he said, well, Christianity has great and profound sublime ideas like love your neighbor as yourself. He said, so what does Judaism have? And then I couldn't say. I didn't know what Judaism has. But anyway, I didn't become a Christian. But he said, now that I've come here to your yeshiva, I've discovered that actually love your neighbor as yourself is a Jewish idea. And this was a great revelation for the young man. So my first observation is that, as is frequently the case, you could say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. But so much that the world at large values has its roots in the Torah, perhaps unsurprisingly. That's, to make us feel good. The problem is, though, that, in fact, is it something that we live up to? Is it an aspect of our own teachings that we really hold dear as we should? So I'd like to explore that a little bit together. Firstly, the pasuk is very easy to find. It's obviously in this week's parsha, that's why we're discussing it. It's in Vayikra Perek Yutes Pasuk Yud Ches. It's easy to remember, it's 1918. And 1918 was not a good year. It wasn't a good year because it was the year of the Spanish flu, and it was the worst pandemic of recorded history. I think there were about 21 million people died of the Spanish flu in that year. So it's not a good year, but it's a very good pasuk. And the pasuk says, "Tochiach es amisecha v'lo sisalav chet." So Rashi quotes Rabbi Akiva, who says, Zeh klal gadol batorah. And the fact that Rabbi Akiva, the greatest of the Tanayim, characterizes the Pasuk in that way, Zeh klal gadol batorah, already, of course, gives it great eminence and should give it great eminence in our thinking. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs takes this pasuk at face value, or seems to do so. By which I mean, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, that the same love a person has for himself, he has to have that for another person as well. I've got it here in the English. It so happens I prepared it once on another occasion in English translation, but just derech agav, the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam is not, the Hebrew is not so easy, it doesn't flow, because he wrote it in Arabic. Many people don't realize that because it's been printed together with the Mishneh Torah, which was written originally in Lashon HaKodesh, Mishneh Torah. But Sefer Mitzvos was not. Sefer Mitzvos, he wrote it for himself, like compiling a list of the Tayag mitzvahs as a way of ensuring that he would incorporate all of those mitzvahs in the Mishneh Torah. But the Sefer HaMitzvah itself was written in Arabic and was rendered into Hebrew later on, and it's written in a rendered into a difficult medieval Hebrew rendered from the Arabic, and therefore the Hebrew is not so easy to read as well. In any case, in the English, it says, by this injunction we are commanded, we are to love one another even as we love ourselves. Which the Rambam apparently sets a very high standard. That a man's love and compassion from his brother in faith, for his brother in faith shall be like his love and compassion for himself, with regard to his money, his person, whatever he possesses and desires. Whatever I wish for myself, I am to wish the like for him. Whatever I do not wish for myself, or my friends, I do not wish the like for him. And this is contained in the words, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. So the Rambam seems to, as I said, take it at face value, but it's very difficult for a person, I think, to implement, just by the nature of the human condition, such an attitude. A person has, by the nature of his very character, an instinct for survival, an instinct for his own well-being. And I don't think one can criticize, even philosophically, such a perspective. And to expect that a person has the identical desire on behalf of another person is a standard which I think is very exalted. And the Ramban seems to agree with me, because the Ramban says, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, the Ramban says, haflaga. Haflaga means it's an exaggeration. It's like a figure of speech. It's a way that the Torah conveys an essential idea, but it does not necessarily mean at face value, literally. Ki lo yikabel leiv ha'adam sheyehovas chaveru ke'ahavaso es nafsho. The heart of a man cannot sustain such a conviction to love another person the same way he loves himself. Va'od. So that's from, if you like, human nature, the Ramban says. And he's got another raya as well. Va'od shikfar bar Rabbi Akiva. The same Rabbi Akiva who said, Zekla gado batora. The same Rabbi Akiva said, V'lamar chayecha kodman l'chayecha ve'recha. And the Ramban here is referring to the famous passage in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Shnei Mahalchin Bamidbar, two people are traveling in the wilderness and they know or they anticipate that they will reach civilization and after a certain number of hours or days, but they reckon how much water they have between them and they only have enough water for one person to survive. They only have one keton of mayim between them. And they are convinced that if they share it equitably, they will both perish. And if one of them drinks the water, it will be sufficient to sustain him and he will survive. And the Mishnah famously says, Ben Petura maintains, it's better that they both drink, Va'al yireh echad b'misasa shel chaveiro, and that neither one will witness the demise of his companion. Ad shebar Rabbi Akiva, V'chai achicha imach. Your brother should live. If you're living, then he should live. But it's only imach. Chayecha kodnu l'chayecha ve'recha. That's what the Rabbi Akiva says. And of course, that is the halacha. Just parenthetically, I have to tell you that many years ago, I was presenting a similar shiur. And I gave a shiur in the treasury, in the Her Majesty's treasury in Westminster. I've been there for a long time. And the people who come are mostly civil servants, but some others who work in other government agencies and some in the private sector as well who come to that shiur. Occasionally, infrequently, I get political personalities as well who come. So one time I was giving a shiur along these lines, and a fellow who comes to the shiur, who works for one of the MPs, comes to me and he said, is it okay if my MP, that I'm my boss, comes to the shiur today? So I said, look, I don't mind, you know, if she wants to come, okay, well, here she is. So the thing is, she wasn't Jewish, this woman, and she's sitting there in my shiur. And part of what I wanted to say, what I'm going to say right now as well, is a kind of provocative theory that I once saw, that this man de Omar, the bar plukt of Rabbi Akiva, in this mission is called Ben Petura. Now, I know we've got very learned people here today, but I wonder how many of you have come across this Ben Peturah elsewhere in Shas. And the interesting thing is, we never heard of him. He's never been heard from, this Ben Peturah. The Bar Plukta of Rabbi Akiva, we never heard of him. He never speaks up any other time. Who is he? So some have a provocative theory that this Ben Peturah is a remez la'oso ha'ish. Shepatar atzmo min ha'Torah. And that this reflects a Christian, a Christological attitude of turn the other cheek. The notion of self-sacrifice. To the point that you shouldn't see somebody else die, so better they should both die. This is a radical, and one could even suggest it's an un-Jewish point of view. It flies in the face of logic, it flies in the face of our tradition, it certainly is not the halacha, and as I said, we've never heard of this Ben Peturah. It's an interesting idea, I don't know whether it's so, but I once came across this suggestion. So anyway, this non-Jewish MP, I had to mince my words a bit, I don't want to offend anybody, but that was my recollection the last time I said this drasha. But anyway,
if it's brought down the Gemara, surely it must be an opinion.
Could be so that
Rabbi Akiva can counter it.
It could be. It's like what they call
in, something that's solid.
No.
In the literary terminology, it's called like a straw man. That's a point of view which is recorded and which is presented only for the purpose of the refutation. You know, we know halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mi'chaveiro anyway, even if it's the Gedolei Tanaim, halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mi'chaveiro. So surely this Ben Peturah we never even heard of. But okay, it is, I acknowledge, it's a maverick, a radical idea. But in any case, I'll call upon him. We know for sure, halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, and a zoish frek ramban, that chayecha konul chave chavarecha. So how can it be, v'haftaracha kamocha is meant in a literal way. Just also, as I say parenthetically, this idea that V'haftaracha kamocha, the Rambam, which we quoted already, says your brother in faith, as we know that it refers to Reyacha b'mitzvos, and this is also maybe a bit politically incorrect, but the principle of V'haftaracha kamocha doesn't mean every human being in the world. There is such a responsibility, but the mitzvah, haftaracha kamocha, refers to Ben Bris, it refers to someone who's part of the faith community of Klal Yisrael, and someone who is faithful, at least broadly speaking, within the observance of mitzvahs as well. And this notion also is challenging, certainly in the wider society. And I once heard someone who was asking a certain rabbi about, well, it wasn't about this really, it was about another mitzvah which is applicable to Yisrael and not applicable to Ben Nechar. And he said, you know, is it not unfair, is it not out of step with the political consciousness of concern for all people? And the rabbi said very simply, he said, it's true that the things that the Torah requires from us, for our fellow Jew, are to a certain degree praiseworthy if a person were to apply that to the people in the general society. But inevitably, a person has a responsibility towards his own flesh and blood that comes first. And if a person said, well, I have no greater concern for my family members than for a stranger, such an attitude would be callous and blameworthy, really. There is a responsibility that a person has first and foremost for those closest to him. And therefore, Klal Yisrael is family. Like many years ago in New York, Chase Manhattan, the bank, had an advertising campaign, you've got a friend in Chase Manhattan, in order to sort of establish their image as a neighborhood bank. So at that time, Bank Leumi was also trying to break into the New York market. And somebody wrote on one of these billboards, you've got a friend in Chase Manhattan, but he wrote underneath, but in Leumi you've got Mishpacha. So there's a certain natural responsibility that a person has towards those who are next of kin. And I just want to say one further aside at the expense of maybe not getting back invited back to Turtle Wave, because I know they're very risk-averse here. But I heard from a very reliable source, although the story is Shelo B'Dikduk, because the years don't quite work out. Because the story is about the Briska Rav and about Rav Kook. And the Briska Rav only came to Eretz Yisrael in 1941, and Rav Kook died in 1935. So the story is a bit shelo b'dikduk, but I'm sure it must have a kernel of truth to it. Maybe the personalities are not exactly correctly recorded. That there was a certain person who would who greatly admired Rav Kook, and he would go to his teachings, and he was an admirer of his. And he would also go to the Briska Rav, and he was a Talmud of the Briska Rav. I said Shelo B'Dikduk because the years don't quite work out. Maybe he was a Talmud of the Briska Rav, possibly in Lita already, and maybe subsequently. But in any case, he said that the Briska Rav didn't like that this fellow who was an Erlich Talmud Chacham, but that he was also so inspired or such a follower of Rav Kook, because obviously they didn't agree with one another. So he said to him, you know, why do you follow Rav Kook? You know, he has dayas, which are very, very objectionable. So he said to him, well, but Rebbe, I know that you are very, amicable towards Rav Meir Bar Ilan, for whom the university was subsequently named. So, you know, you see him and you greet him and you talk to him and you enjoy his company. And he said, but, you know, otherwise you curse the ground he walks on, you know, but you're very nice to him when you see him. So he says, well, look, Mishteit Mibisarcha Lo Sisalein, you know, he's my cousin. Because Rav Meir Bar Ilan was a son of the Nitziv, and the Briska Rav was a great grandson of the Nitziv, because he was the Rav Chaim Briska was a grandson-in-law of the Nitziv. So the Briska Rav was, anyway, it was related. So therefore, I've got to be nice to him, you know. Mibasarcha lo sisale. So he said, this fellow said to the Briska Rav, by Rav Kook, Gans Klal Yisrael is like that. That's how he feels about every member of Klal Yisrael. So that's why he loves them so much, because he feels just like you feel about your cousin. So he feels that, which there may be some truth to that. But we're talking here about an exalted madrega. The Ramban says, to get back to our classic sources, enough of my digressions. The Ramban says, "Va'od shikvar bara b'yakiva v'limid chayecha kolin l'chayech haveirecha." It doesn't mean to the same extent. That's impossible to demand. But the Torah means the same experiences, the same benefits, the same prosperity, the same contentment that you seek for yourself, you should seek it for others as well. Rather than look for or strive to surpass others, and rather than delight in the downfall of someone else because it's to your own aggrandizement, that's wrong. But rather, the same things that you want for yourself, you should want for others as well. Now here the Ramban says something which is a bit subtle in terms of the usage of the syntax. It doesn't say v'ahavta esreyecha kamocha. Then it could mean a hashva'a, exactly the same. It doesn't say that. It says v'ahavta lireyecha kamocha. V'hishro sam b'milas lireyecha. V'chein v'ahavta lo kamocha de ger. It says about a ger, v'ahavta lo kamocha. So the Ramban is suggesting here that it means the same attitude, the same hopes and aspirations you have for yourself, you should delight in those achievements for someone else as well. And you should try to bring the benefit to another person. But it does not mean literally, kamocha mamish, as the Ramban says, haflaga. And this is the position of the Ramban. It says, veloshi yishve eila, but not that he should be exactly equal to you. Aval yeh chefetz belibo la'olam sheyehu yosem imenu b'chol tova. It says, it's almost inevitable in human nature that a person still seeks his own benefit to a greater extent than that of others, but rather a person should should nevertheless seek the same kinds of pleasures, the same benefits for others, but perhaps not literally to the very same extent. The hint here as well, of course, is to a kind of parallel statement. And when we think of Rabbi Akiva, who says Zekla Galaba Torah, it probably hints to another very famous passage, which does not invoke the Pasuk, but certainly hints to it. And I'm referring to the famous Gemara in Shabbos that describes how a heathen approached Shammai asking to be taught the law to Gayareni Regal Achas. And Shammai drove him away, and then he made his way to Hillel, and Hillel accepted him, and he taught him, Madasani Lach Lechavercha Lo Sa'aveh, that which is hateful to you do not do to another person. V'idech Perusha Zil Gemara. The rest is commentary, go and learn. One of the most famous, beautiful, eloquent, and sublime passages, which is, of course, familiar to us all. I remember hearing from the late Rabbi Bernstein that, I don't know if you recall, possibly many of you remember him, but on one occasion he injured his leg, and he was on crutches for a while. And after he was finally allowed to go to shul for the first time, he hobbled up to the bima on his crutches, and he said, if Hillel could teach Torah on one foot, so can I. But then they reminded him that it was the heathen who was on the one foot. In any case, he said, teach me the Torah al regel achas. So Hillel compressed the Torah and he said, Madasani lechavercha lo sa'aveh, and this is clearly an evocation of our pasuk, albeit in the negative. Instead of saying in the positive way, put in the negative. And probably Hillel has in mind the same concern, that to put it in the positive, the exactly equal to the same extent is more than one can demand of a normal person. And as Ramban says, it may not even be the halacha, because chayecha kodmin. But in the negative, the things that I don't want for myself, I don't want to be humiliated, I don't want to be frustrated, I certainly don't want to be hungry or impoverished, I don't want to suffer other indignities, so I should not do that to another person. And someone who is cautious, at least who has that alertness, and who feels his own pain and his own trouble and his own frustration, as we all do on different occasions, so a person like that will be alert to not impose such a thing on another person as well. So this is the usual understanding, and as I say, no doubt there is truth to that, you know, just taken at face value. In which case, Hillel and Rabbi Akiva are really reflecting the same idea, the essential importance of this pasuk. The problem, of course, is, does it really fulfill the request of this prospective ger to teach me the whole Torah on one foot? How does that encompass the whole Torah? So many years ago, I saw a beautiful pshat. I think it's close to the pshat. I don't think it's so much derech drash. I think it's probably close to the pshat, if not the actual pshat, in the Klei Yakar. In the Klei Yakar, in his parish on this pasuk, he says, Ma'aseh avu ger she'amar lamdein at kol ha'torah k'shinomer al regel achas. So he says, Kefi ha'nira she'ger haya ger tzedek. Klei Yakar suggests that this man was not mocking, even though Shammai didn't seem to take him that seriously, but he may have been genuine. And he wasn't v'lohaya mahatel hitulim lamar b'derech schok shilamdenu kol haTorah ba'ochu omin al regal achas mamish. He didn't mean it literally. Teach me as I stand on one foot. He wasn't mocking Hillel, but rather he really wanted to know the Torah. He really wanted to become a ger tzedek. But he said, "Look, I'm already a mature adult. I've been raised on pagan mores for all of my life." And I'm very far from the teachings of the Torah Kedosha, and therefore I'm asking you, can you compress it? Can you simplify it for me? Can you give me a principle that will enable me to sort of accept that as the fundamentals of the Torah, and from that I can learn more? That's what he was asking. Compress it for me. Encapsulate it for me, like they say now. Give me a sound bite, you know, because they didn't have a long attention span. So he says that regal echad means Asher yamid lo kolamis as kedei shelo yavoli de shikka hamatsuya beger asher lo laman min urav klumi mitzvas haTorah. I'm a late starter, so therefore simplify it for me. And therefore he said al regel acha. So he says, the Klei Akar says a beautiful thing. He says that Hillel taught in the pasuk ve'haftal recha kamocha. Because kvar b'chavak v'mina l'acha shinar etzarek v'emunaso yichya. He says, "V'zeh eno sosa divrei Hillel." That which it says, "Tzadik ve'emanoso yichyev," because he's referring to the Gemara in Makos, the end of Makos, that says where the Gemara mentions different psukim, hemidan al shiva, hemidan al shalosh, you know, to encapsulate the essence of the Torah. So Bachavakuk, and he compressed the essence of the Torah into one saying, "Tzadik ve'emanoso yichyev." Emuna is the most important thing. So the Klei Akar is asking if indeed he wanted to compress the Torah in one sound bite. So why didn't Hillel tell him what Habakkuk said? The Emuna is the basis. Why didn't he? So he says an interesting idea. And this is the thought I'd like to leave you with, and then a final closing flourish, if I may. He says that the mitzvahs of the Torah are, broadly speaking, comprised of mitzvahs ben Adam le-makom and ben Adam le-chaveiro. So he says, Ze'eno sosa divrei Hillel, ki kol mitzvah Torah heim shnei sugim. Like we said, ben Adam le-makom, ben Adam le-chaveiro. So he says, the yisod of the mitzvahs ben Adam le-chaveiro is madasani lech le-chaveir chalosa aveik, ve-hafta le-recha kamocha. That is the underlying perspective. And someone who grasps that, and someone who embodies that, and someone who demonstrates that awareness in his interaction with all other people, such an individual will be a long way towards fulfilling all the mitzvahs ben Adam lechaveiro. What about ben Adam lemakom? So he says he surely told him the last part of the pasuk as well, because the pasuk says ve'ahavta le'recha kamocha ani Hashem. And he said he surely told him the last part as well. V'hafta l'acha kamocha is mitzvahs ben Adam l'chaveira. Ani Hashem is mitzvahs ben Adam l'makom, the essence, the essential principle of the recognition, the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he added on, as it says mefurish in the Gemara, idich perusha zil gemar, go and learn. He didn't just leave him with that. He said, you want to know al regal achas? I can tell you. I can tell you that there's mitzvahs ben Adam l'chaveira. There's mitzvahs ben Adam l'makom. You've got to grasp the essential features of those two categories. Zil gemar, you can go and learn. He says, "V'amar lo gam psofa pasuk ani Hashem dahanu hayesod shalav hemid chavakuk komitzus haTorah v'hainu haemuna b'Hashem." So this is the approach of the Klei Akar, and this is how we can understand Zekhal Gadol b'Torah, because it embodies the essence of mitzvahs ben Adam lechaveiro, but there's also ben Adam lemakom. Ani Hashem is the end of the pasuk. The last flourish I'd like to leave you with is a question. I remember seeing it at least in one of the Mefarshim, maybe more than one. I can't remember which one, but it's too clever for me to have thought of on my own, although it's a very simple idea as well. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, we've been talking about it for the last half hour, and we know it very, very well. Hopefully we live up to it also. But there's another instance of ahava, which is possibly even more familiar to us, because we say it in our prayers daily, twice a day. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha. Now, whatever nafshecha, levavcha, or me'odecha means exactly, it's clear that it is an all-encompassing love. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your possessions, afil hu noteles nafshecha. The greatest, highest, most pervasive expression of love, which the Torah enjoins us, is love of Hashem. And the Rambam also includes that in the Targum Mitzvahs at the very beginning, Avas Hashem. But the Torah says you shall love Hashem with all of these qualities, and therefore the question needs to be considered, if a person devotes all of his heart and all of his soul and all his very life to love of Hashem, what is left with which to love anybody else? What about the love of my wife or my children my parents? Or what about love of my fellow man? V'havdaracha kamocha. How can I love anyone else if I've already applied and devoted every fiber of my capacity for love if I've devoted to Hashem? Of course, the answer is, you could say this really is a klutz kasha.
Divided itself is divided into parts.
I don't think the love of Hashem is divided into parts. It's just saying that it's a way that the Torah is expressing the totally all-encompassing nature of the love of Hashem. Afil hu notelas nafshecha, which is also Rabbi Akiva's drash, and Rabbi Akiva fulfilled it in his with his dying breath as well. Again, as is very well known, this is the time of year to recall that personality of Rabbi Akiva also. But of course, the answer is that the love of a fellow man is an outgrowth, is an expression of the love of Hashem. If a person loves Hashem, he is going to love the children of Hashem as well. If a person loves Hashem, he will ipso facto love his fellow man. And if someone's Avas Hashem doesn't allow room for Avas Hareya, it means his Avas Hashem is lakui, his Avas Hashem is defective. Avas Hashem does not elbow out of the way the love of anyone else. On the contrary, it encompasses and it implies and it demands Avas Hareya also. So this is the meaning. V'ahavtas Hashem elokecha means that because you love Hashem, that is why you love others. So there is no tension between the two. There is no competition between the two forms of love. On the contrary, the love of Hashem is the source, ultimately the source of our love of our fellow Jew, and in Yisrael Tzion that we should be able to fulfill that in teachings of Rabbi Akiva, Zekla Gadol Torah, and be zochet to good things in Yisrael Hashem and the year to come.
Amen. Okay.